Welcome back, pubcasters. This is the AIMP Nashville Pubcast, and I'm your host, Tim Hunzi, and I am personally excited about our episode today. We are sitting with Johnny Cloherty. He's the founder and CEO of Songfluencer. We are going to talk about social media influencing. We're going to dig deep into this, friends. We're going to talk about social media campaigns. Not only are you going to learn about what he does, but also how you can improve your digital footprint in social media. I think you're going to really love this new episode. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. What does a typical influencer campaign look like, or how does it begin? Like, what do you start with?
Yeah, well, if I had an artist or a label approaching me and say, like, you know, what do I do? What does this campaign look like? The first thing I'm going to explain to them is how song promotion on TikTok or Reels or YouTube Shorts works best. And how it works best is garnering as much velocity or momentum before you actually activate influencers. So really what we recommend to a lot of clients is to look at their release and think, what can I do before I spend money on influencers? Influencers are expensive. They're not really performance-based. You can't go to an influencer and say, hey, well, if you get this, I will give you this kind of compensation. It doesn't work like that. It's kind of like how artists work. Artists, you know, if they're going to go play Bonnaroo, they're going to say, you give me a flat fee and I'm going to give me $10,000 and I'm going to play Bonnaroo, right? They don't go to Bonnaroo. Is not like, well, if you attract 5,000 people, then I'll give you $10,000. Doesn't work like that.
Not so, a barter system.
Not really a barter system. Surely there's versus deals and there's a lot of different things, but for the most part, you know, I'd like to explain to the music industry, influencers work the same. They're going to get paid regardless. It's their time, energy, and effort to film, produce, edit, post content, plus their platform. So it does get expensive. It can get expensive. I work with a lot of our labels and a lot of our clients to explain, what can you do now? What can you do in advance of it? So if you were coming to me saying, hey, I got a release next week, I'd say, okay, artist X, what is your content plan? How often are you going to be posting? I would encourage the artist, the client, to come up with a content plan to post around their release. And why should they do that is because it will evangelize their fans, excite their fans, or even excite the fringe fans, maybe not all the super fans, but you want to get as much of that critical mass on the front end organically, where your fans or the fringe kind of audience members to post on TikTok using your audio. That way, when we actually, you know, hit it with a hammer and hire influencers to go after the promotion, and we're, you know, dropping a lot of money on paying these influencers to do this thing, then we can go ahead and experience a lot more velocity and momentum on your track, because there's already kind of an organic kind of foundation there.
What I find often in my side of working in artist development, there are the artists that come on board now because we're looking for them that already kind of have a general idea of how to use social media, but we still are in that transition where some don't know. So you kind of mentioned like the artist engaging, like what are some basic things artists, because I get this a lot. What can I do to post? What are some things I can look at to build out my social media? Because I find that the fall down is a lot of labels say, you got to post, you got a social media, but a lot of artists go, well, what does that mean? Does it have to be all music? Or what are some key things you see that have helped the artists identify themselves via these platforms? Maybe that's the basic question.
Yeah, that is a great question. I mean, it's different for everyone, and I don't think there's a cookie cutter answer to your question. Let me give you kind of some of the stock answers, and then I'll elaborate a little bit. But, you know, every social media person in the world is going to say, hey, be true and authentic to yourself, post what's natural and organic, post what your fans like. That's still true. And I know every artist is like, Johnny, like, that's the most ridiculous answer ever, because everyone tells me that. But what does that mean? You don't want to just post what everyone else is posting, but I do think a good starting point for an artist is to look at 10 to 15 peers. Look at 10 to 15 peers, whether it's other artists or content creators that are kind of in your vibe. Look at what they're doing. what can you do that's similar to them or mirrors what they're doing? That's like a really good starting point. It at least gives you a direction. I'm not saying copy them. I'm saying get inspiration and study your craft. Unfortunately, right now, the craft is produce TikToks. 30 years ago, the craft was learn how to produce music videos. So, you know, that it, the world has changed. I'm sorry you don't like to film TikToks. I don't make the rules. I'm not TikTok. I'm just telling you as it is, right? So study your craft. Study what 10 to 15 other peers are doing. Study what other content creators are doing. And how can you take what those individuals are doing and apply it to your world? Look at how frequently they're posting. Consider how they are able to create some of these pieces of content quickly and effectively without having to do a 3-hour production session. And that is another secret sauce. Another thing I noticed with a lot of artists is they think it takes forever just to film one TikTok, when some of these good content creators and artists that have really studied the platform can crank out a TikTok in 20 minutes from inception to posting, right? So it's really understanding the platform, understanding the nuances, working with team members that can may help, might be able to help you film these things and produce them. But it is no easy task. I don't envy artists right now. It's difficult. You know, when I started this company, I was just doing influencer marketing. And 2 years ago, we launched an entire content division specifically aimed at this because it's hard. Not every artist knows what they're doing. Not every artist knows exactly how to film TikToks. So our team actually goes out there and like, they say, okay, artist, what do you need? Do you need someone that's going to actually film stuff for you? Do you know how to film and you just need help editing? Do you know how to film and edit, but you just don't know what to film and you just need ideas? We do all of that because it is such a problem for artists. It is so difficult. But the reason I'm kind of bringing all this up, and I think the spirit of this question is I think a lot of times our clients come to us trying to solve their promotion with spending money on influencers, when what they could do is have the artist really catalyze activity on platform before they really, you know, go after influencers and run expensive TikTok influencer campaigns.
Eyes versus engagement. Is there one that's more important than the other? Meaning eyes would be like followers and engagement. And how do you as an artist maybe metric that on yourself? Like, I realize that a lot of people can build a pretty good following, but if it didn't do anything, it doesn't really help to a degree, and you really want that engagement. And when I say that, maybe you could help and define, what does engagement look like and mean to you? So it's kind of a two-parter there.
Yeah, I think, I guess let me just kind of define what I'm about to say here, because engagement and like defining engagement and engagement ratios are kind of different to everyone. Everyone has their own engagement ratio and all these different things. The first thing I would mention to anyone is I think the traditional idea of even measuring based on engagement ratio and engagement is very flawed, especially in the world of short form video. Followers just don't mean anything anymore. So if you're basing your mathematical equation off followers to views or followers to comments, it's kind of a ridiculous point anymore because of how irrelevant follower count really is. So on one point, I would kind of mention that. But the second question, if I was talking to an artist saying, and the artist was asking me, hey, what should I pay attention to? How do I like, is it eyeballs or like true engagement and comments and whatever? To most artists, I would encourage them, hey, you should be worried about all of it. You want people commenting, you want people liking, you want people sharing, but worry first about eyeballs. Like, if you're not worried about eyeballs, there's just kind of a struggle. So in terms of like priority, eyeballs first. And the second, I would really encourage shareability. So comments just aren't super meaningful as much as shareability. So whether that's a TikTok post, what do they call it anymore? A tweet? Do they still call it tweet?
Yeah, still, I think they do, even though it's X.
Okay. So like things that can be retweeted, things that can be shared, things that those kind of scenarios that people are encouraged to do are really good because that really just fans the flame and kind of exponentially grows whatever piece of content you put out there into the world. But focusing on views first, not that that is the only metric to care about. It just is the first thing. And I think when marketers or managers get in this headspace of encouraging artists. Well, you got to worry about how many comments and likes. Like, you're just freaking confusing the artist. Like, artists, just worry about views. Worry about how many people are watching and listening to your music. And then we can worry about other things after that.
I bet that makes a lot of sense for sure. Now, my business is, you know, I'd spend a lot of time listening to music, and I pride myself, I think, well, pride may be the wrong word, but I've gotten pretty good at identifying certain songs that I go, oh, I think I can get that cut. That's probably a hit. And I always say probably, because every now and again, you're like, I know this is a hit, but you know, maybe it never gets out of your inbox. But I think I'm pretty good at finding those, placing those. Is there something to something that you can go in your world of going, oh, I can, this will go viral before it's viral? Do you have a sense, or is it an innate gut thing, or is there just certain aspects to something? Like, I can go melody, lyric, great hook. Is there certain things you see that can help a song or an artist go viral? I know that's also, I'm hitting you with a lot of loaded questions.
Yeah.
Early in the morning. Yeah. I hope you had your caffeine.
I did. No worries. You know, man, as I've been in this space of like viral social media world in the last 6 years, I probably would have had a lot of answers for you in the early days. And now, as I'm a lot more conditioned and just more mature in this space, I'm going to tell you, man, like, I'm not a Sherpa, you know, like, I don't know. I've been wrong more times than I've been right, you know? And I would even say this, like, I would challenge anyone that says that they can answer that question positively, that they know what's going to go viral and what's not going to go viral. So it's a tough answer, but I would say there's conditions of virality and things that like you could play solid bets on. And a few of those things are like, anything that is funny, self-deprecating, anything that's shareable, anything that's relatable and shareable, anything that's like relatable and funny, anything that's unique but applies to a lot of people. And it all really comes back to the shareability element. And that's kind of what I talked about earlier with that last question. Virality has to do with shares. And who else is doing something with whatever thing that you put out there. Virality is not defined by viewership necessarily. I've got a lot of clients that hit us up and they say, hey, my artist is going viral on TikTok. And then I'll pull up the sound page and I'm like, there's four people using your sound on TikTok. You're not going viral. They know, look at my artist. My artist has 100,000 views and climbing. That just means a lot of people like the content. I don't know if I'd necessarily define that as virality. Virality is defined as someone saw something and is doing something in response to that and exposing your content further. So in my world, it is someone that saw your TikTok artist, heard the music, and wanted to use your song in their TikTok video. That to me is a very viral thing. That's a sticky thing. Or saw your tweet on X and decided to retweet it because it was funny or relatable, or they wanted other people to see that same sentiment. So I kind of define virality like that. And so back to your basic question of like, can you see it? Do you know? There are those symptoms of like relatable, funny, self-deprecating, like something in response to a current event that is funny or self-deprecating. And I use the self-deprecating thing a lot because I think we're in this culture right now where people kind of like to poke fun at themselves or kind of make fun of themselves. And that usually is something that resonates.
Let's pull this back to like talking about campaigns. Okay. If you're an artist out there and they're coming to you, or you're thinking about this, or their teams are, what are some key components of like a successful campaign? What would an influencer campaign look like, or marketing campaign look like? And what can they do to help you in your job if they're coming to you to be prepared for that?
Yeah. You have to look at this through the lens of ROI and budget first. Because there's a certain amount of critical mass required to move the needle. You know, it's like if you spend $100 on an influencer campaign versus $10,000, obviously you're going to have more momentum. So the first question that typically clients ask is, well, how much money do I need to spend? Well, it's That's kind of a tough question, but what you can do is reduce the amount of money you need to spend by achieving any kind of organic momentum on your own. So a lot of times I start off this conversation with a client with saying, okay, most clients come to us with a budget of between $5,000 to $10,000. Typically a client is not going to come to us if they don't have about $5,000. The barrier of entry from what we've established and have seen over the last 5 years is the critical mass required. You kind of need something in that range to get things rolling. You could probably apply that to anything. You know, if you went and talked to a publicist and said, hey, I only want to do 1 month of PR. I don't know how many publicists would think that that's a really great idea or that they could garner a story for you in a month, right? So there's a certain amount of critical mass required. So a couple of the elements that make for a good campaign is one, you need some momentum, or you should have momentum, or it does get a little costly. So let's pretend for a second that there is a little momentum, that the artist is kind of wafting that flame. There's a little bit of organic stuff. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at what is happening on platform to get that organic activity. Did the artist or did a fan inspire something, some kind of trend or brief or challenge concept that other people are replicating? And if there is something going on organically, we want to use other creators, influencers to do that same trend. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the general thing. If not, that's totally fine. One thing our team does is we will ideate a brief of some kind, a dance trend, you know, some kind of memeable moment or storyline or text overlay, whatever it might be. And we will work with the client and say, okay, we think with your song and what you've dropped on TikTok, there's a trend or what we call a brief that we want to send out to the influencers to do. So song live on platform, we've identified something, some kind of timestamp. Two, we want this brief to go out to a certain amount of influencers. The third thing is we're going to find a target list of influencers. We're going to find influencers that make sense for the artist so that we can kind of think like, what are the kinds of people that would go to this artist show? What are the kind of influencers that would probably listen to this music? That way it looks organic. That way, if you know, we're working a country record, there should be country lifestyle, Western wearing, hunting, fishing, loving every day style influencers using the audio. There's a lot of outliers and there's probably a lot of people listening to the pod that are like, oh, well, what about this scenario? When this, like we're, you know, keep it.
You're looking core for this because you gotta keep brand alignment.
We're speaking generalizations here. You know, you definitely want to kind of stick to that and you want to find those creators that can do that brief. And now that's the other thing is there may be an awesome influencer that can promote the Tim Garage Band. That's great in terms of like the look and the feel. And it looks like someone that would go to Tim Garage Band's concert. But what if that same influencer can't do the brief? You know, say it's a dance. Say you want to hire Johnny to promote Tim, but Johnny doesn't do dances. Now we're in a conundrum, right? So there's the jigsaw puzzle that my team kind of puts together is you have to find people that make sense for the artist and the record, but at the same time can do whatever brief. And that is truly the art form that we have crafted and we do internally of you got to get as close as you can to the artist, but you also have to kill it on a brief. And when those worlds collide and really, really connect best, that's when true virality can happen. And these campaigns really work effectively. I hear a lot of times my peers or artist managers, or, you know, maybe they're doing influencer campaigns on their own or hiring other people to do it. And they're just like, it's all about the influencers. No, it's not. It's never been about the influencers you hire. It's never about the influencers you hire. It's about that secret like alignment of the influencers with the specific brief. And that is something that's really, it's tough to do. It's like, it's not as hard as writing a song, but I can compare it to writing a song of just saying like, hey, there's a special thing when two writers get in there and merge ideas. And that's when like something great happens. And that's kind of like in our world, I can draw on that analogy by saying, you have to find influencers that are like within that moment can do that brief. For instance, say there's a breakup song. And we come up with some kind of text overlay, point of view brief. we kind of want to find some influencers that makes a lot of sense to use a breakup brief, because maybe recently they went through a breakup or have history of relationship drama of some kind or have talked about that, as opposed to using someone that might make complete sense for the artist. Right?
Yeah.
So it just gets very interesting.
The AIMP Nashville Pubcast is hosted by yours truly, Tim Hunzey. Executive producer, Brandon Harrington. Mixing and editing by Casey Porter. And this has been a Dime Collective production.